Good morning. It is very good to be in church and always good to be in God's house. I tell you what, I always look forward to church every Sunday because I know that when we get together, we joke around, we have a good time, we laugh, we love, and we worship the Lord together. And I tell you what, there ain't nothing builds a stronger family than that right there. If you would, turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I decided to read today from the Holman Christian Standard. I like how it was worded. So Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to be preaching on convincing truths, or proofs, I mean. And if you would, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word today. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just ask and pray, Lord, that today you would open up our hearts, open up our eyes, and Father, let us understand from your word the things that we seek to know. Father, we pray for wisdom and knowledge, that God, you would help us to go after and seek Jesus each and every day. And Father, in our own personal lives, we pray that we will spend more time in devotion and in prayer as well as service. And Father, we ask and pray, Lord, that today you would look upon our hearts, and according to each and every person's need, we pray that you will touch them, bless them, minister to them. And we also ask, Father, that as I preach this message, that every word would come from you through your Holy Spirit, and that nothing would come from my words or my own flesh. And we ask it in the holy, mighty, and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Acts was written by Luke. And there's a lot of infallible proofs that tells the story of what Luke was writing about. Jesus raising from the dead and Jesus appearing. And it's throughout the Gospels that it is written. But with these many infallible proofs, infallible means it's incapable of making mistakes or of being wrong. So we know that God's Word is truth. We know that everything that is written to us in every word, it is meant for us to minister to us and to build us up. First thing I want to look at this morning is that the acts of Jesus Christ in His people. And like I said, Luke had written the book of Acts. And I want you to notice that what Luke had written, he said in the gospel that what Jesus began to do and to teach. And the word I want to focus on there is what Jesus began. That means that Jesus is still at work today. I want you to know this. Just because Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, and then after 40 days went back to heaven, it doesn't mean that it was all over. Jesus began, and Jesus is still teaching us today. So from the very moment that you and I got saved, it began a new process. That's why the Bible says old things are passed away, everything becomes new. It's a brand new beginning. It's a brand new relationship. This is a fresh page in your life. You've turned over what they would say. I've heard people say it this way. I've turned over a brand new leaf. I'm seeking a different way of life. And when people come to Christ, so many people are discovering what they were missing in their life. Before Christ, we've been blinded. The enemy does not want us to see the things of God. Why is that? Because the devil, if he can keep us apart from God, he knows that we won't grow with him. And he also knows that he can stop us from being a very effective disciple. And that's why I say it's very important that all of us are in church every Sunday, because what Christ has began, what has begun, it is still going on today. And every single one of us, as a Christian, we are all learning. We are all there. I want to say this. They, none of us should ever say, oh, I'm experienced in this Christian life. No way. I've been in the ministry 37 years now. I am nowhere near experienced. I am nowhere near perfection. What Christ began in my life, he is still working on it. He is still bringing it to fruition through completion. Now, when Laura was teaching school to the kids, I mean, she began a work in them, and it wasn't just a one-day thing, was it, Laura? There's probably some days she was ready to wring some necks or string them up the flagpole. I don't know. But I'll just use Laura as a quick example. Laura had committed herself to many children's lives. I can't remember what grade you taught now. Sixth grade, okay. So she committed to teaching the lives of sixth graders. Basically, parents were bringing their kids to the school, and they were trusting Laura. And Laura gave, I know this because I know Laura well enough, I think now, that she poured her heart into these kids. And she didn't do it expecting great things to be, you know, put up on a plate. She did it because of the love in her heart. Because I know this. I know that the families, everything I've heard about families in this church, there's one thing I've always heard, love. And we know that love produces many good things. So she gave of herself to these students. And I know today that plenty of these former students who were in Laura's class are probably today, they are recalling great memories and things that they learned because of her dedication and her hard work to them. So thank you for what you did for those kids. I appreciate that. Even though I wasn't there, I know she would have killed me if I'd been in her class. But Christ is doing the same. See, God gave Jesus to us, and he started this ministry. And when he ascended to heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And know this. The Holy Spirit is your comfort. He is your guide. He is your strength. I mean, the Holy Spirit will help you to walk. He'll help you to stand when you can't even stand on your own two feet. The Holy Spirit is there to tell you right from wrong. The Holy Spirit moves upon us to know when somebody is going through something. I don't know how many of you have ever had this happen, but have you ever seen somebody that you know and you could just tell something wasn't right? That is the Holy Spirit of God pulling on your heart and speaking to you that that person needs ministered to in some way. So Christ began something and it is still going on today. And you and I as Christians, we are responsible for stretching and making room for ourselves to grow. We are daily, we are to put off the things of the sinful life. We are to put off of the flesh, and we are to wrap ourselves in the word of the Lord. We are to live by the Spirit, and we are to bear good fruit. Now, how many of you know that a tree doesn't grow. A fruit tree does not grow in one day and bear fruit. It doesn't happen. It's a process. Now, I know nothing about fruit trees. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not an expert. But I know this. You've got to prune them. You got to take care of them. You've got to cut certain things back so that more fruit can grow. I do know this because I had two yellow delicious apple trees in my yard at a house that we lived at previous. And I tell you, that tree had, boy, it had branches growed all out of it. And them apples wasn't hardly growing because nobody took care of it. I went out there one day and I had a little handsaw and I went to town on that thing. Now YouTube videos are good. YouTube's great. I'm a YouTube fix-it master. So I watched a YouTube video on how to take care of an apple tree, and I went out there and I cut branches back, and it didn't. Now this was getting near the end of summer, and nothing really took place, but the next spring, I want to tell you, those yellow delicious apples started to bud out on that tree more than they ever had before. And some people think this is crazy, and that's all right. I like to talk to my plants and trees that I got at home. I do. Now, my neighbors probably think I should be committed, but I'd go out to that apple trees, and I would say, I want you to know that you are growing strong, you are healthy, you are beautiful and vibrant, and you're going to grow a lot of apples. And I guarantee you this happened. That spring, that apple tree put forth a lot of apples. And it was the most beautiful thing. And I pulled quite a few yellow apples off of there, washed them and ate them, and man, was they ever good. And Christ is doing the very same thing in us by teaching us. If we allow ourselves to grow, we allow Christ to, if we allow to Christ to form us, to prune off the bad things, you and I will blossom and grow, and we will produce a beautiful abundance of fruit in our life. And you know who will notice it? People that's around you. People will say, well, have you noticed Cheyenne lately? Boy, she's just blooming. She is just, God's doing so many great things in her life. And people notice it. I don't know. I'm just the kind of person, I never want to be mean by saying this, and I'm not being mean, but I always tell folks, don't thank me for what gets, thank the Lord. He did it, not me. He's using me to do the physical work here. But please give Him the thanks and the honor, the glory and the praise, because He's the one who made it possible for me to be in the pulpit, and He's the one who gives me the word to speak week after week. But He is still working. I am a promise. We used to sing this song. I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality. And I'm learning to hear God's voice. And I'm trying to make the right choice. Because I'm trying to be, I can't remember the rest of it now. See, I get all that much of it, and then I get there at the end. I don't remember. But that's okay. You know what I mean. So I want to say this. If Christ is in you, then you have the hope of glory in you. A lot of people think, well, but I mess up. So how could Christ work through me? Well, that's the thing. You're going to mess up, but know that He is working in you to bring you to the place He wants you to be. Now, if you become like a, anybody ever try to walk an old mule and you pull it by a rope and that mule digs its feet in, don't want to be, and you almost have to drag it? Sometimes I feel like that's how Christians are with God. God wants us to do things and we get the stubborn mule syndrome and we start digging our feet in, and God's just trying to lead us gently, but we're unaware of where we're going with the Lord, and we don't know what's ahead, and we don't want to learn, and we don't want to grow in Christ. But I want you to know this, where God leads you, where God leads, God will provide and God will comfort you. You should never, ever be afraid. That's why God says 365 times in His Word, He tells us, do not fear. That means 365 days a year, do not fear. But you have the hope of His glory in your life. Secondly, the actuality of the risen Christ. Verses 2 and 3 was talking about the day that He was taken up into heaven. And in verse 3, it was being mentioned about 40 days of Jesus appearing. So we know that Christ rose from the dead. We also have the accounts in the four Gospels of Mary and the disciples going down to the tomb. The stone had been rolled away. There was an angel there. And when they looked into the tomb, the linen cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' body had been neatly laid, folded, and were neatly laid aside, and he was not there. Now, for a moment, they thought that Jesus' body had been stolen and taken someplace. They had apparently forgotten that Jesus said, I will raise from the dead on the third day. And that's what He had done. So that was the biggest account, was He had risen from the dead just like He said He would. But for 40 days, He made appearances to many different people. They saw Him resurrected. They saw Jesus, not in human form, but they saw Jesus in His glorified form. Many of them, even Doubting Thomas, got to see the nail prints in His hand, and he got to put his hand in his side where the spear had been thrust. One of the accounts in the Gospels, a soldier had stuck his spear in the side of Jesus, and it said that the blood and the water flowed from his side. And so Thomas got to touch Jesus on his side because Thomas said, well, Lord, I won't believe until I get to touch. And I hope that none of us ever get to the point where everything that we have heard in the Bible and everything that we know is truth, I hope we will never get to a point where we will ever doubt. And I know we're going to, because this guy right here has doubted so many times throughout his life. This guy right here many times had the mule syndrome and dug his feet in and didn't want to go any further with the Lord because I was too afraid. But I want you to know this. Christ has walked with me every step of the way, and it's until I let go and gave my all to Him that He was able to finally use me. Luke strongly asserts that Jesus, who suffered and died on the cross, presented Himself alive. I mean, could you imagine what it would have been like if you were there, if you were one of the chosen who... Now take this into thought. The disciples had walked with Jesus throughout His ministry. They were chosen. They were called. They gave up everything. He told them so many truths about what would happen. And then at the moment of His arrest and crucifixion, you know what they did? They all ran away and hid. They locked themselves in an upper room, afraid that they were going to suffer the same consequences that Jesus did. And Jesus appeared into that room with those disciples. They saw Him glorified, but they doubted. See, when Jesus died, they thought it was all over. But I want you to know this, it wasn't over. The third day was coming. And on that third day when Jesus rose, He rose with great power and great might and glory. And Jesus is doing a work inside of us today. The risen Savior lives within us so that we will tell other people. We are not to be silent. Just as the Gospels gave the accounts of what happened, You and I are not supposed to say, well, the 40 days was up, now we're done. We're just going to coast through. No, it's not. We are still on a journey. You and I should be proclaiming the Gospels to every living person that's around us. I know I say this a lot, but I mean it. This church is a lighthouse on this hill. And do you know why the lighthouses were built so high up? So those ships, when the ships are in the storms or the fog, that light is so high up so they can see and they can come to a safe place. And I believe that's what this church is here for. I believe that many years ago, when this church was placed here, it wasn't just by chance. And also, you're not here by chance. Because this is a lighthouse on a hill. This place, it's a safe place because there's many people who are in dangerous waters and they're in need of a Savior. And how are they going to learn about that Savior if you and I stay quiet? We have to get out of our comfort zone, and we have got to go to those, and we have got to minister to them. We have got to tell them about Christ, and we have got to lead people to Jesus. And guess what? After people get saved and baptized, it doesn't end there. It's just beginning for them. And you know what our responsibility is? To be right there for them. To minister to them, to disciple them, to teach them, to love them, encourage them. You know what, folks? We should never turn anybody away from this church house for any reason at all. Now, I'm going to share this story, and then I'm going to close. But I took a church, and my first Sunday, I was sitting in the office during Sunday school, and I'd just been praying, kind of going over my sermon, and just praying, just my first service, my first time preaching as pastor of that church, officially, you know. And the interim pastor and his wife, they were going to stay on board. They was going to back me up. Man, they was, I heard it all. Man, we're here for you. Well, on my office door, I said, come on in. Here comes Brother Bill. Through the door. And he looked at me and he says, Brother Jim, we have a problem. I thought, are you kidding? This is my first Sunday officially as pastor. We already got a problem? That's what I was thinking. I thought, what in the world? I said, well, what is it, Bill? And I might have sounded a little hasty because I didn't want to hear those words. He said, well, come follow me. So we walked out of the office. And there is a big foyer area between my office door and the secretary's door and the sanctuary door. And that sanctuary door had a little window in it. And he led me to that door, to that window, and he said, I want you to look out there. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, do you see those two women back there? I said, yeah, I sure do, Bill. He said, I want them to leave. I said, what? What for? He said, well, I went back there to meet them. And he said, those two ladies told me that they're married. And one of them proclaims to be a preacher. He said, they're from Canada. I want them gone. He goes, now, are you going to do something about it? Well, that's what I did. I said, you know what, Bill? I am going to do something about this. I said, I'm just not going to stand for this. Well, I just went on through that door, and I closed that door behind me, and I walked back. And they were sitting on the very back pew. And I walked up. I said, good morning, ladies. And they said, good morning. I said, I'm Jim Cooper. I'm the pastor. I'm the new pastor of the church. And I said, I want to let you know that we're glad to have you here today. I said, where are y'all from? They told me the same. I said, were you invited by somebody? I just was curious. Well, one lady says, yeah, my mom goes here. I said, well, who's your mom? And she told me. I said, your mom is one of the most faithful, wonderful ladies. I love her to death. I really do. I said, well, I tell you what. I said, I hope both of you ladies enjoyed the service today. And if you at any time have questions, want to talk, anything at all, you feel free to come to me and we'll sit down and have a talk. But I said, I want you to know I'm glad you're here today because God brought you here. And they smiled at me so big and shook my hand. And I turned around and went back toward that door. And there was Bill with his face in that window. Some of my stories sometimes sound like a Wendy Bagwell story. They just, I don't know. I guess God decided to put some humor in my life. And there he is with that face stuck in the window. And I walked back there and went through that door. And he looks at me and he says, well? I said, well, what? He goes, they're not leaving. I said, no, and they're not going to, Bill. He goes, why? I said, Bill, what is God's house here for? God's house is here for those who don't know Christ. And I said, they are welcome here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. They will never be turned away because they need Jesus. And the only way they're going to know Jesus is as if we love on them in their condition. Because when the love of Christ comes on a person's heart and life, it'll change them. When we pour into them what's inside of us, they'll never be the same when they've met Jesus. And Bill looked at me and said, fine, then me and my wife are leaving here and we'll never come back. And I said, I'm sorry, but don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's what I told him. I was aggravated with him. And they left, and he turns around and says, by the way, you won't even have a piano player because my wife won't be playing. I said, God will provide. I got to tell you this part. That night, Sunday evening service, I'm standing at the front door greeting everybody coming in, and this woman and her husband and two kids come up, and I introduced myself. They introduced themselves, and the wife looked at me and she said, Brother Jim, I got a question to ask you. I said, what? She said, are you by chance looking for a piano player? Because she said, I play the piano. I said, as a matter of fact, I am. I said, and boy, are the pay and the benefits very good, because the Heavenly Father, He rewards those of us who work. And she said, can I start tonight? Yes, ma'am. And I want you to know, now, I never got to lead those ladies to Christ, but I told you that story to tell you this. A seed was planted, and then it was up to God to take care of that seed. And I'll tell you this too. Every seed in this church is always available for a prostitute, a drug dealer, somebody who got out of prison, a gang member, whatever, homeless person. It doesn't matter. These seats are open to them. And I tell you what ought to pour out of us into them is we ought to pour out upon them an abundance of love, because that's the only way they're going to ever know it. If Jesus did that for us here, then you know what we're going to have? We're going to have a lot of infallible truths that we can share about what God's done here at Boscadale Baptist Church.